You got to see there's some power. There is the power. Thanks, Cody John. Hey, I do want to encourage you, too, whether you're a member or a tender of church, you're the same in God's eyes. And so please feel free to pick up a phone directory back there if you don't have one. Even if your name's not in it, please pick one up so, you can identify people and you can call them if it's their birthday, like Ken Starlin on March 3rd. There should be a huge outpouring. Ken, there's going to be so many packages arriving, cards. Yes, it's going to be amazing. Also, as we pray for Ukraine, somebody called attention to me this morning that Skip Heitzig of Calvary Chapel Albuquerque has started a convoy of hope, supplies and support for Ukraine. His wife, I believe, is from Ukraine, Alania. And so if you want a reliable place to channel any type of tangible support, then I encourage you to go to Calvary Chapel Albuquerque, Skip Heitzig, Convoy of Hope for Ukraine. That's a reliable place to contribute. So keep that in mind. I'm going to share a few things about what I saw this week, but it all ties into our reading in the book of James. We're going to be in the letter of James. Which would be Jewish people who were scattered because of persecution, but came to know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And in that way, they're Jewish Christians. They're Messianic Jews. And so James writes this letter to them to encourage them, especially in their trials, because of all people there in Jerusalem, they were suffering greatly. And so a lot of the letter is standing up to trials and temptations and tribulations that they're encountering. And I marveled as I listened to an interview with the foreign affairs minister of Ukraine. It was from a car. It was a driving car. And so I assumed that he was fleeing Ukraine. But I soon found out the opposite was true. He was going back to Ukraine. He was driving right into it. And the reporter asked him, he said, why are you going back? Coming. And he said, if there is a Ukrainian soldier fighting in the trenches, the least I can do is give my best effort for him also. But the reporter didn't stop there. The reporter continued. Again, they're filming this while he's in the car driving back after just having a meeting with some high-ranking officials in a different site. He's going back to Ukraine, into Kiev, and he says, the reporter says, but many say when it's Russian forces against Ukrainian forces, it's a lost cause. And the foreign minister replied, those who say that don't know Ukrainians. We will fight for our land. Now, as if that wasn't enough, on Friday, perhaps you saw this also, there was a rough video that was being shown throughout Ukraine and the world, even in Russia. And there's President Zelensky, his vice president, and they broadcast to the whole nation of Ukraine, again, through television and social media, and they said this. They said, President Zelensky said this, we are here. We are not leaving. We're not going anywhere. We will fight with you because we are Ukrainians. And that's a message of courage. And then whether you agree with it or not, as you might have heard, they went on to distribute approximately 10,000 high-powered rifles to all citizens willing to stand and fight. Now, one of those was a 78-year-old grandmother. Maybe you saw this. And she said, I've never fired a weapon in my whole life. She says, but I am willing to take up arms and to learn how to do that, to defend my homeland. Again, whether you agree with that or not, When you think about the foreign minister, the president, the soldiers, the civilians, you have to understand they're exemplifying what we call resolve. They have decided firmly on a course of action, regardless of the circumstances, or the outcome, I should say. And you know what? It's impressive. It's admirable. They've said, we are Ukrainians above all things. We're not global citizens. We're not an elite group set apart from the common citizen, but we are Ukrainians, and we're going to prove it by taking up arms and action. Taking action. Taking action is the essence of the letter of James to the church. And again, although it's addressed to the 12 tribes that are scattered throughout the Roman Empire, it's really for all of us. And it's a very timely letter. It's all about putting action into our faith. Action speaks louder than words. Are you willing to stand on the promises of Jesus Christ and stand with him, identify with him in his crucifixion and resurrection, regardless of the outcome? Vernon McGee says, faith is the root of salvation, but works are the fruit. If you think about a tree, again, faith, no doubt, no argument here, is the root of salvation, and works are the fruit. You know that fruit is good because the roots are healthy. And again, Paul emphasized this over and over again. He said, it is by faith you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And James has no disagreement with that. Faith is the root of James's letter to the church. Again, to Jews who had become Christians, they were still Jews in race. They were Jewish Christians. But again, the church was 100% Jewish for the first season. You think about Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, those Jews were all gathered together there. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And 3,000 of them were added to the church that day. Those were 3,000 Jews that were now Messianic Jews. Jews who came to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the one that was promised in the Old Testament. And so this study will lead us right into Palm Sunday and into Easter. So 6 weeks, maybe seven, in this letter of James to the church. And then before you know it, we blink our eyes and it's Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus from Bethany into Jerusalem. And then it's April 19th. It's Easter Sunday, the glorious, victorious resurrection of Christ. So this will get our hearts ready, I think, for that moment, to identify ourselves with Jesus completely in everything we say and do. If you'd like to go deeper into this book, we're going to pray through some of the book of James. The things we read today, we'll pray about them. Or maybe you want to join the Dorians on Wednesday. They'll be going deeper into the book of James. Or the Garcias on Friday. And it's going to be a glorious time. Uni, are you restarting yours also? Okay, good, good. Praise the Lord. Yes, Uni's back with a vengeance. That's right. That's right. That's right. You haven't seen that, you've seen Rambo, and but you haven't seen Uni. Okay, it's, there you go. Anyway, I want to say this. We're going to read in a moment, we're going to read this first chapter. But some people try to pit James against Paul, and you should never do that. James and Paul both knew that it was, again, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Most will put this, the writing of this letter, 45 to 48, the year 45 to 48, right around that time. That was anywhere from 5 to 7 years before Paul wrote his letter to either the Thessalonians or the Galatians. And Paul, of course, expanded upon the wonder of grace, the wonder of salvation through faith in Christ. James does not contradict that in any way. So just keep that in mind. James just says, hey, it's time to put up or shut up. If you're saying you're a Christian, then you better live it. Because Christianity is not a philosophy to believe, it's a life to be lived. It's an active life to be lived. And so it ought to spur us on. Now, I know this sounds sexist. I'm just going to apologize in advance. But I'm going to say it. But guys tend to really love this book because it's very hard for guys to wait upon the Lord oftentimes. I think about camp. When you hear about a child who's been abused, most guys, the Lord says, no, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. But James calls us into action. He calls us to step out on a limb to get the fruit. To not stay in the safety of the building, but to go out in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. It ought to spur us all on, not just the guys, but all of us on, to love and good works. So get that out of your mind right now. James and Paul do not contradict each other. Again, Paul talks about the roots. James talks about the fruit. That's pretty much what it is. Recall, well, let's rewrite. I'm not going to talk anymore. Let's go to James chapter 1. I talked enough, okay? You'd think I'd be there, but I'm not there. Right after Hebrews, right before Peter's letters, James is just tucked in there. So if you're looking to find it, there it is. After Hebrews, before 1 Peter. And I'm going to read from the Mega Amplified Giant Print Bible that, again, my daughter-in-law, Danae, said, oh, I know why you don't need glasses, because you can see this print from outer space. Okay, praise the Lord. There you go. All right. Yeah. But I am reading from the Holman Study Bible. This is a little different version than the New King James Version, which I left at my mom's house when I was there. But I was so happy to see that this is even bigger print than what I had before. So praise the Lord. Trials and tribulations. But here we go. Let's enjoy the word. And thank you, dear God, once again for giving us this letter. Lord, we know it was written to the 12 tribes that were scattered, but, oh, Jesus, it's for us today. God, it was written for the church, made up of every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so, God, here we are today, 2,000 years later. We receive it as if it was written yesterday. So would you inscribe it upon our hearts and our minds, Lord? Would you spur us on to love and good works and move out, Lord? That we would have a faith that works, that moves, that others can see. And they can feel it. They can touch it, Lord. Our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, you've called us to be the body of Christ. And Lord, the body that is healthy is the body that's moving and breathing. So God, help us be that body now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go. James. A slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to stop there for a second because, again, as your commentary probably says, this is James, the half-brother of Jesus. This is James, born of Mary and Joseph. This is James who didn't believe in his brother initially. And so James could have called himself any number of things that would have shown his importance. But instead he says, this is James, the slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies himself. Just like the Ukrainian says, we're Ukrainian above all things. James says, I'm a slave. I have no rights at all except in Jesus Christ. I give up all my rights. And you say, that's kind of contradictory, Tony. We just spent 6 weeks talking about the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have great freedom in Jesus Christ. He has set us free from the slavery of sin and death, the Bible says. But you know what? We move from being a slave to Satan to a slave for Jesus Christ. We got to serve somebody. As the song goes, oh yeah, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And so we become a slave of Christ. And he's a good master. He's the best. So he goes on to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, scattering of Jews by the Romans. Greetings. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously, yours might say liberally, and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him or her ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the waves and the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. The brother of humble circumstances should boast in his exaltation. But the one who is rich should boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and dries up the grass. Its flower falls off, and its beautiful appearance is destroyed. We might say, the snow falls and crushes the daffodil. That's what happened this past week. It just started springing up, and I got a little bouquet before the snow came. I said, this might be all we're going to see this year of the daffodils. And so it goes like that. It gets crushed immediately. Its value is very little. In the same way, the rich man will wither away while pursuing his activities. A man who endures trials, or a woman, is blessed, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Again, we endure a trial, and greater things are ahead for us. The trials work in our favor. Just as Josh studied so hard for his test he just took this weekend, and he feels confident he passed it, and because of passing this test, Josh, you're going to go on to greater things. So too, as we endure trials, and yes, praise the Lord, as we endure trials, Josh, good job, Josh. We're going to give you, thank you, Sharon. The Lord opens up more things for us. It works in our favor for Christ Jesus. So he goes on to say, trials, well, we call it to the Lord. And again, we call upon God. If you lack wisdom, you ask God for it, and he brings it. So praise the Lord for that. Going on to verse 12. Well, actually, I already read 12. I'm going to keep on going. 13, there we are. You know, and it's 18 font. How could I miss this? Okay. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, nor does he himself use evil to tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own desires. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Verse 16, don't be deceived, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning with him. By his own choice, he gave us a new birth. He's begotten us by the message of truth, so that we would be the first fruits of his creation. Anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all moral filth and evil. Humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, so deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man or a woman looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but the one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious, verse 26, without controlling his tongue, then his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Last verse, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to look after widows and orphans in distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Actions speak louder than words. Recurring theme through this whole letter that Paul wrote. It's 11 o'clock already. Wow, my goodness, how'd that happen? James writes, because he knows the Christians are suffering terribly. He knows they're enduring trials. Again, those Christians in Jerusalem, perhaps the worst of it all. As you read Paul's letters in Corinthians, Romans, he makes a plea for a gift to be collected. Who's the gift for? It's for the Jews, the Christian Jews who are suffering in Jerusalem. He wants so badly to bring a gift back to them. The book of Acts outlines this. He wants to bring a gift back, persecuting them and imprisoning them, that now that he's come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, he wants to bless them. And so, knowing that the church in Jerusalem is suffering greatly, Paul collects a gift and James sends a letter of encouragement because they're suffering terribly. That's why we pray for Ukraine, as we know they're suffering now. Especially those who are standing for the name of Christ Jesus against a force that is very hostile to Christ in many ways. And so we do that. We pray. We write letters. We encourage one another. And he says, brothers, count it all joy. This seems so contradictory. Count it all joy, verse 2. When you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance, and let endurance or patience have its perfect way, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if you are lacking wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you liberally. He won't hold it back. So James says, hey, these trials are either going to shape you or they're going to break you. They're going to either conform you more into the image of Christ, or you're going to go searching for something else to satisfy the pain. And Jesus would have it that you would be conformed into his image. And trials conform us into the image of Christ. Jesus said, hey guys, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Because you do the works that I did, they're going to hate you. So get yourself ready for it. And so in the Bible, continually we see that those who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer through tribulation. But again, it's a small t. It's a lowercase t. Not the great tribulation. It's tribulation that comes from identifying yourself with Jesus Christ. Jesus said it. He said, in this life, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So how do we overcome the trials and tribulations and temptations? We call out to Jesus. We bury ourselves in his word. We pray individually and with one another. And in that way, we overcome these things. And we're refined. Here's how Peter puts it. In 1 Peter, I believe, starting in chapter 3. I'm sorry, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to check it myself. I don't want to give you misinformation. Right after James. There it is, starting in verse 3. Praise the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Again, verse 5, 1 Peter. Salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And here's where. Then he says, you rejoice in this. Struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus, whom you love, although you have not seen him, and though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Peter says, hey, just like gold is heated up in the fire so that all the impurities will rise to the surface and they'll be skimmed off and all that's left is pure gold, so too the trials we face are going to refine our faith. Now, this is not a new message. I'm sure you've heard this in many, many settings. But we can hear something, but then when we're experiencing it, sometimes we forget it. And we say, Lord, why are you punishing me? Why are you letting this happen to me? I'm your faithful servant. And you can almost hear Jesus say, I know you are. That's why I'm allowing you to go through this. Because it's going to make you even stronger. And you're going to stand for me even more. I'm getting rid of every bit of Tony that there is by putting you through this. He's burning away. And Jesus Christ is going to rise up. And he's going to come. That's why even as Fred prayed this morning, we come before God not because we have any righteousness of our own. We have nothing to stand on of ourselves. But the Bible says we have the righteousness of Christ Jesus covering us. And so because of that, we can pray. We can stand before God and plead with him on these things. Because we look like his son. Just like Braden and I look like identical twins. Except he has a lot of thick hair and, you know, he's built better. But other than that, we're almost identical. But we're going to resemble Jesus Christ more and more as we spend time with him, as we are close to him. And people will see us and they'll say, my goodness, you sound like somebody else I know, I've heard before. Jesus Christ, that's who it is. Wouldn't that be a great compliment for somebody to say that about you? That's an awesome thing. An awesome thing to resemble our Lord and Savior. So again, Peter goes on. He says, hey, you're going to go through these things like gold. That's what we are to Christ. We're golden. And I think at these times, again, I think of the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, what I just shared, when he says, video goes on, television turns on, and Ukrainian citizens are watching, and he says, I'm here. Vice president is here. Two highest-ranking cabinet members are here. We're in the Capitol building. We're not going anywhere. We're staying with you. We're with you. Even more so, Jesus, in his last words, well, almost last words to the disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verse 30 or something like that, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of time. Jesus Christ is with us in our suffering. He has not betrayed us. He's pressed into us. And that ought to comfort us, knowing that Jesus is right there with us. Your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So sometimes when trials come, we tend to fall back on things that one time brought us comfort, whether it's a substance or another person. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not trust in your own strategies or schemes or devices. Abraham did that, thought he was helping God. God didn't show up in time. Man, we're still dealing with that problem on a worldwide level. Let's trust the Lord, not in our own selves, our flesh. So again, we're going to spend a lot of time on this in the coming weeks about how we sustain trials, how best to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ than to put things in our own hands. Best to say, not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord. If we do that, that's when we're in good hands, when we say that. Jesus did it, we can say the same thing. But James also talks about things that come from within. And verses 12 through 15 deal with those inward desires. Again, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man or the woman who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone using evil. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You know, the guys, not all the guys, but 15 of the guys here are in a study in 1 John right now. Wouldn't you know it? And our focus is on worldly temptations. We got snowed out 2 Wednesdays in a row. But this Wednesday, we're coming together, I think. And praise the Lord. And the focus is on 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. What does it say? It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the flesh, those inward cravings, the lust of the eyes, things that excite me, that I want that for myself, and the pride of life, wanting to feel recognized, important, fame. He says, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life does not come from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So James, Peter, and John, and Paul all speak about trials and temptations. Trials is usually pressure from the outside. Temptations sometimes well up from within us. But either way, we're to resist them in the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, and we go through the fire, then we're going to come out stronger. We're going to come out. Maybe I go in, you know, looking like Tony or something, but then I come out and I'm looking more like Jesus all of a sudden. You know, I've got longer hair and a beard all of a sudden. You know, that, no, we begin to be conformed to his image. And that's good. But we're not to love the world. The world is very enticing. And I'll conclude with this. David Jeremiah, he says, The world is not the universe that God created or the people on it in this text. It's all the morals, values, schemes, undercurrents, man-centered activities that take no account of God. It's a world system that is aligned with, empowered by, and ruled by Satan in opposition to all God is doing. This is the world John tells us not to love. And that world is ruled by Satan. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world is held under the scheme or the sway of the wicked one. Paul called Satan the prince of the power of the air. Jesus called him the ruler of this world. So these things that we see that sometimes bring suffering and pain to us from the outside, those things about, Satan does, God allows us to go through them. As the text said, God doesn't tempt anyone with evil, nor does he use evil itself. He doesn't want us to fall. He wants us to be refined, to be conformed to the image of Christ, not to be broken in pieces. Well, broken in a sense that he will put us together to look like Christ, but that's about as far as it goes. I didn't share the first service. I'm going to end with this. 2 days ago, we had a camper, a former camper, who had been abused. He called and said he's coming into town. He wants to come and visit us. And we've watched him be refined. At times, he has completely fallen. And I kind of was skeptical about that. But then the best news he told me was this. He says, and I led somebody to Christ Jesus. I said, wow, that's awesome. He said, it wasn't just a normal person. He said, it was a Satanist, a man who had given himself to Anton LaVey's teachings completely. Church of Satan, devout member, the Satanic Bible, he could quote it. And he says, and I met him at work. And he was sharing with me. And he says, and Tony, you know me. I'm not a preacher. But all I could do was pray with him. And he opened his life to Jesus Christ. And he's with me today. I said, wow. So he brought him here 2 days ago. And we came into the church. And he introduced himself. And he said, and he was just, every satanic symbol you can imagine was on his body. And he said, I've done some weird things, but Gabe just led me to Christ. He goes, I don't even know what to do now. He came into the building here, and he said, I want to be honest with you. I feel like angry. I can hardly be in here. It's so hard for me to just sit in this church. And I said, that's okay. Let's go sit outside. But man, here was a man, a young man, at one time in the clutches of Satan, that now has been set free. But this guy's going to go through some heavy withdrawals. So I want to pray for him. His name is Tanner. He's brand new in Christ. And he's going to endure some things. So let's end our time by praying for him. But also, if you're going through a trial or temptation, God would have you to call out to him. Not to rely upon your own resources, but to call out to Christ. And in that way, this trial or temptation is going to shape you more into the image of Christ. And so let's stand and let's pray together. And then Tina and the band will conclude our time. So Jesus, here we are, God. Lord, we know that this world is not our own. God, we know that, Lord, there is wickedness that seems to prevail and consume us, even and destruction and violence and abuse and deceitfulness. All these things, Lord, encompass the world. But God, you said we are not of the world, that we are in the world but not of the world. But yet, even so, Jesus, trials will come from the outside. Temptations will come from even the inside. Oh, God, help us now to stand strong against those things, Lord, against the rulers of wickedness in high places. As, Lord, you've told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so, Lord, you've called us to fight the battle on our knees. It begins and ends on our knees. And God, we're lifting up our prayers even now on behalf of Tanner. God, would you touch that young man continually? Lord, you saved him, Lord. You have set him free from an eternity apart from you, Jesus. But God, the enemy is very angry about that, Lord. Would you allow him to understand your word, God, as the Holy Spirit fills him now? And God, let him know that no longer can he be possessed, Lord, by any satanic demonic force, Lord, for you reside in him. God, help him today. And Lord, help Gabe just to be his friend. Lord, help Gabe to be an example of walking with you, Jesus, and what it means to know you as a Savior. And Lord, then finally, would you help us, God, help us, Lord, once again, to do something, Lord, in your name, Jesus, to not pass up an opportunity to show your love and to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth when we have an opportunity, God. Help our faith work out, Lord. As an athlete works out and uses his muscles, help us to use the muscles of faith that we have, God, in your name, Jesus, to go forth from here. So God, help us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giants. I know how this story ends. I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Done it for good. Done it for good.
Hey, if it's been a while since you've seen a victory in Christ, then don't leave without praying. Come forth. We'll pray together. Tina's here, myself. Anybody right next to you has the same spirit that I have. The Holy Spirit resides in us. So don't leave defeated. Lay your burdens down today and go forth in the victory. You know that Jesus Christ has got it in his hands. Whether it's addictions or a job or a financial thing or a marital thing, whatever it is, nothing is too big for Jesus Christ. So let's bring it to him. Let's give it to Jesus. And you're going to leave out of here a lot lighter than when you came. So God bless you. Enjoy the time afterwards. If you can get a rare piece of Braden's cake, if it didn't get totally taken this morning, then enjoy that. Say congratulations to both of them. Well, at least him. Cecilia's gone. She's already left. Where is she? And hope to see you on Tuesday night. Take advantage of a good opportunity. God bless you. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I see the sea.